Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
And we have a very special guest in the studio. We have David Burdett, Chairman of the Isle of Wight Society. Good morning, David.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning. Hello. Now, David, you have a most wonderful new book that you've just brought out. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes, the title of the book is The Osborne House Stable Block, subtitled Not Only for Horses. The story behind this book starts back in the late 1970s, when residents in East Cowes formed the East Cowes branch of the Isle of Wight Society. In the early 1990s, this group decided to set up a heritage centre, and we got good support from the community, and we initially set up in the Crown Office, Post Office in Lower York Avenue, and my wife set up temporary exhibitions about different subjects, which we've carried on ever since. And with the setting up of the Heritage Centre, we started to learn an awful lot about the forgotten history of East Cowes. And the Isle of Wight Society also monitors planning applications.
Yes.
When the gentleman who's got the long-term lease on the Osborne House stable block submitted a planning application, we went and chatted to him about what his plans were. We found a gentleman who was very interested in local history. And for a period, there was a committee discussing the setting up of a visitor centre there. Because of the circumstances, that never materialised. But it did trigger off the suggestion, once we'd found the some of the rich history of the stable block, to write a book. However, running a heritage centre is quite a an involved business, and because we have an open door policy, we're continuously inundated with new information. We're adding to local history all the time, and I realised when some picture postcards came in that there'd been a naval college there from 1903 to 1921. And looking at the pictures, it was almost exactly the same as my early education. I'd gone into the Merchant Navy, and the start of that career was 2 years at HMS Conway in North Wales, where, again, the circumstances ended up that for a period the cadets were living in wooden huts. And because of Churchill's requirement for increased manpower for the Navy for World War One, we were honorary midshipmen, RNR. And so I've suddenly found that I've got a living place that, well, reminded me very much of my early career.
Good grief.
At the same time, obviously, at the Heritage Centre, we were looking at industry, royalty, and all the other aspects of the town. And the end result was that, well, fairly rapidly, we realised that so many different aspects of the town came back to the source, which was the Osborne House stable block.
Wow.
And hence, we start off with the royal family living there, the only family that's ever lived in Osborne House, because nobody has lived there since Queen Victoria died. And then we move on to the convalescent home being in Osborne House, which I think many people are familiar with.
Yes.
And then the Naval College at the same time. The convalescent officers were in the house, which left the enormous estate unused. And as you will read in the book, the circumstances politically throughout Europe encouraged the Navy to introduce the greatest change in the training of naval personnel that has ever happened in its history. And that happened here on the Isle of Wight.
That's
at East Town.
That's great. Yeah.
And so that went on until 1921, by which time the peace dividend brought about a very much reduced Royal Navy fleet. By that time, the Britannia College at Dartmouth was up and running and could cater for all the Navy cadets who entered the service. So at that time, Osborne had been actually set, the Naval College Osborne had been set up as a temporary measure. Within a few months, they realised they needed that and Britannia. So the buildings then became permanent buildings built of brick rather than timber frame structures. And then with the end of the Naval College, the Admiralty passed the buildings back to the Ministry of Works. And all sorts of ideas, which you'll read about in the book, were put forward. One idea was as a boar store. This, of course, the island had its own prisons, so there was a connection. And eventually it was used as a holiday camp, as a training ground for the Royal for the Red Cross voluntary aid detachments. One of the lessons from World War One was that the army needed a reserve of nurses who could be called upon in time of conflict. And so we had up to 3,000 nurses. It was the first one in the country and the largest. And it would have carried on, except that the Ministry of Works decided they, as these training camps only happened in the summer, the Ministry of Works were looking at the that part of the estate as a whole. And so the training moved to Hampshire. But the nurses were there, I think it was a three-week training period, were visited by the Princess Royal, by leading figures in the army, and it was regarded as a very important phase in the life of East Cowes. With the passing of that, the buildings weren't used so much. The sea cadets used it. And then along came World War II, and it was used as a military hospital. There were 4,000 Royal Army Medical Corps staff based there. Catering for the needs of military casualties or illnesses across the island. And it was also a prisoner of war camp after the war. During the war, Saunders Row, well, there'd been lots of bombing on the town, and Saunders Row had suffered and were looking for to spread their offices, and they asked the government to commandeer part of the stable block for their drawing offices. This was granted, and at the end of the war that continued, and Saunders Row leased the building up until 1978, I think it was. And the drawing office produced the largest metal flying boat in the world that was built in East Cowes, the first and largest long-serving hovercraft. Lots of government contracts for fighter planes, and then with the Cold War we entered the age of rocketry, and East Saunders Row were given the contract by the government to explore re-entry problems for kits, and after many years of very successful tests, in fact the Americans were quite put out. They couldn't understand how a small team on the Isle of Wight had got so far ahead of the American government on such a small budget. It was completely successful, and the end result was that the rockets developed at East Cowes put the nation's first satellite in orbit.
Wow.
Which is Prospero, which, as you will see from, I believe, the COAST programme did a series about
it. They did. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yes. And Ray Wheeler, who's one of our trustees, who was in charge of the project, recounted the government's decision to pull the plug on the whole programme because they couldn't see any useful development coming out of the development of rockets for putting satellites in orbit.
Gosh.
And so then with Saunders Row moving its works into other parts, they left, and the building was less used. It became a Pine Furniture Factory, and then in late 1997, Tony, who had a business in Newport, needed to find new premises, and he ended up getting a six-month contract to lease Osborne House stable block. After 6 months, he was offered a 50-year repairing lease.
Wow.
Tony and his team have saved that building, because if Tony hadn't taken on that lease, the repairing lease, the roof was already leaking, the window frames were starting to rot. He has saved that building and runs it now as a multi-use storage and business centre. And in respect, one of the delivery companies is also based there.
Yes, they are.
So from there, lorries go all over the island. From there, in the early days, horses and carriage went all over the island. So wow. You have actually come full circle.
So it sort of resurrected it, but modernised it in a way, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
How
what,
wonderful.
What was interesting is that when it was a drawing office, the courtyard had been filled in. And we've spoken to quite a few residents of East Cowes who used to work there and did not realise they were actually working in the courtyard of a stable block.
Wow. Well, I suppose back in the certain times it would have been really important for them to have kept secrets, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
And not
government
let
contracts.
People know.
Yes, yes. This is particularly relevant to the island with radar development.
Yes.
Which has been a fantastic thing, but all the contracts were government contracts, so Official Secrets Act came in.
Absolutely. Now, I've seen pictures of the flying boat landing in East Cowes.
Yes.
What a beautiful picture that is.
Yes.
It's an absolutely gorgeous picture.
Well, the one thing about the Heritage Centre is you get all sorts of anecdotal stories coming in. And when the Princess Flying Boat was being first tested, they took it out for seaborne trials,
yes.
just to motor up and down the Western Solent to see how it handled in a seaway. And they were trundling up and down, and then Tyson, the test pilot, came on the intercom and said, "Gentlemen, you might be interested to know we're now airborne. As we're up, we'll go for a flight." So they flew around the island. One of the stewards at one time at the Heritage Centre was a radio operator on board. He never saw it fly because he was always on board. And the story he tells is that that day when they flew around the island, his wife was shopping in East Cowes, came out of the shop, and there was an almighty roar overhead. She looked up, and there was the Princess Flying Boat flying over East Cowes, and she said, "My husband's up there." And so these little anecdotes that we get in at the Heritage Centre have helped us to put some colour into this book about the Osborne House stable block.
Absolutely. So it's such an interesting place. If you haven't been, you must go. Now, the East Cowes Heritage Centre is in Clarence Road, isn't it?
Number 8.
And opening hours are?
10 a.m. until 1 p.m. every morning from Monday through to Saturday, and on Wednesday afternoon it's open extended hours until 4 p.m.
It's such a wonderful place. You'll learn all sorts of information. If you want to find out certain things as well, but you'll find out things you never even knew.
Mm.
And I found that too, because I'm a volunteer, a new volunteer, having said that.
One of the many we rely on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, it is 23 minutes past 12, so I guess we ought to stop for the break.
Have time for one question?
If you would like to ask a question, yes.
Is there anything that hasn't been used for? Because everything you've said is unbelievable, but is there any other thing that hasn't been used at that building?
It hasn't ever been used as a source of local water supply or electricity, although one of the items there was the when they set up, we actually they got the electricity supply from our power station here in Newport.
Ah.
So, there are lots of threads of history coming from this one subject.
Wow.
It's such an amazing thing. Now, thank you so much for coming to see us, David. How can people get hold of a copy of your wonderful book?
We're not very good at promoting ourselves. Basically, it's on sale at the Heritage Centre. So if you call in, we've got plenty of copies for you to buy.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for coming to see us.
My pleasure.
It's an most amazing, amazing thing that you've done.
We're very proud of East Cowes and its history.
Absolutely. Okay. And in the Heritage Centre, there are many other books written by Sarah and David as well as other people's books. So please do pop in and say hello. You'd be very welcome.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.